Welcome to the World Service Conference 2021 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name is Gina Medetta. So this session, the topic is Traditions 7, 8, and 9.
Thank you, Jean, so much. I'm Chris, and I'm a debtor, compulsive debtor. Hi, everybody. So wonderful to be here. Tradition 7 is one of my favorites, and it's been one that has helped me much, as have others, but 7 is a real, real good one for me. So basically, one of my favorite sayings when I think of Tradition 7 is, whoever pays the piper picks the tune. So whoever gets to pay the piper picks out the tune. And for me, you know, it's been so hard to stand up and say, I can do this. I can support myself. I can figure out, I can get a career that supports me, that I feel good at. I can support myself. I can give myself travel and the good things in life. You know, I can have an abundant life. I can do this. It's taken a lot of work in DA for me to be able to say that. And this tradition is very much supporting me in that. And it's a continuous thing. It's a very continuous thing. There's lots of issues at the job and lots of areas of my life. This is an ongoing process, and I have certainly not arrived. But boy, have I come far. And when I look at the faces out there and I participate in this fellowship day and I hear what people are saying, I am just buoyed up to continue the work and to keep doing what I've been doing for now over 30 years. I hear some people like to mention their solvency dates. I got solvent immediately when I got into the program in 1989. I lost my solvency once, I think that was about 7 years later, when I got a raise at my job. It was my birthday, so I'd gotten birthday money, a raise at the job, a bonus, when the banks gave bonuses back then. And I did some moving money from an account to an account, some like check type, whatever. I considered it a debt at the time. Today, I don't even know if I would consider that a debt after discussing it with a sponsor, but at the time I did, and so I counted my solvency over. But I've been solvent the whole time in DA and since that date. So clearly abundance is not easy for me. And I wanted to read a couple of, I absolutely love this new step and tradition and concept book. It's just phenomenal. And it's Tradition 7 that allowed us all of our work, all of our money, all of our experience. And if you've just come into the rooms and you're new about a week or two, I'm talking about you too. Because it's all of us and our experience that wrote this, that got this book written. And it is phenomenal. So I'm going to read a couple things out of Tradition 7. And spiritually, were we to accept gifts from outside DA, it would be far too easy to put our trust in the source of the gifts rather than the higher power. I want to trust anyone, anything, but my higher power. So I need to hear that. In our shame over debting, so shame, huge one. In our shame over debting, we sometimes acted from an excessive sense of obligation. As a fellowship, we cannot afford to put DA in this position. So it's talking about my personal recovery, and it's talking about DA. And I cannot afford that. You know, the shame over debting, the shame over... I thought of something just today, sitting in a meeting, a four-step meeting. I thought of something just today of how I had kept a truth. I hadn't lied, but when something came to light in my family situation, I kept my mouth shut. And what I need to do is speak the truth about that. It's humbling and difficult because it was something where I had acted very, very wrongly. Just thought of that today. But I will work on that. Let's see, another one. Outside individuals or organizations who might contribute to DA would not necessarily share our deep commitment to our primary purpose, grasp our spiritual approach to recovery, or understand the factors that lead to compulsive debting. We get it, but others don't. Maintaining our financial independence allows us the freedom to focus on what is most important. Thank you. Here's a good one. We pay our own way. That's on page 95. We pay our own way. It remains in this situation to look, or I'll just say, it remains to look to the group conscience and a higher power for solutions rather than to a donor. And the DA's traditions call upon us to find a self-supporting solution. So that all involves, in my opinion, a lot of work, a lot of slowing down, being humble, and following basically the program, which I have done imperfectly these 3+ decades. This tradition is particularly important to me right now because I do have a sponsor, and we're on step 7, or we're really like 8 and 9 right now. And I'm in family therapy on Zoom. And for the first time, there's something that's happening in my family. You know, another member is getting sober after many, many years of drinking. There's me, who is this, I'm the good one. This crazy idea about myself is cracking. And I'm coming clean, very little bit by little bit. And nothing is more important than continuing doing exactly what I'm doing. And by doing this and allowing this and allowing the process and the opening and the vulnerability to happen to me, like I hear it's happening to all of you, I continue to truly support myself. I rely, one of the things I read says, you know, that the shame, we come to know that trust ourselves. It was the first thing, the very first sentence. We discontinue all use of unsecured debt. We become financially responsible, supporting our current needs with current income and assets. This self-support leads to self-respect and is rooted in faith in the Debtors Anonymous program, in a power greater than ourselves, and indeed gradually in ourselves. Oh, so gradually, something's happening, and I am beginning to trust myself and to, you know, bloom as a full person. It feels like it's kind of just barely beginning, but it's been a lot of work and a lot of going on for a long time. And this tradition, you know, it really just says it all. I stand up. I can. You know, people come in, they've got incredible disabilities, they've got incredible things going on in their life, and they don't have it any different. They too, we say to them too, we will help you learn how to support yourself, abundantly even, you know. So we're all in this together. This is about standing on my own 2 feet. And, you know, the tradition talks a lot about the different ways to give, you know, whether it be service, whether it's financial, whether it's the money I'm putting in the basket, the service I'm doing, the sponsoring I'm doing, being a sponsee, just allowing this process in myself to blossom and grow, and so that all of you get to see that and are encouraged by it, saying, oh, she can do it, you know. So I don't know much how time I have left. I feel like I've kind of said what I need to say. Thank you so much for being here. I look forward to hearing the rest of the speakers.
Thank you, Chris. The next speaker is, I don't know, Lori?
Tradition A. Hi, I'm Lori J. I'm a debtor. I'm a part-time under earner. I'm a compulsive bargain shopper, and I am a business owner. I'm really ecstatic to be here. I'm really kind of moved. I am not someone who, I have worked traditions in a number of different 12-step programs, but I wanted to go talk about the steps, right? And then I thought about it, how the steps help us get our, you know, get it together for ourselves, and our traditions help us get it together for our groups and help us in our families and our work. And I mean, seriously, I got what I would consider somewhat boring tradition. Mine is Debtors Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. And I did my cramming. I read it last night and again today. And it was really beautiful for me to actually think about how it is that, you know, it starts off when you read the beautiful 12 and 12 and 12 everybody's talking about. And I did my first round of steps using this book with a number of women in San Diego. It was a lovely experience. It talks about when newcomers make their initial telephone call, you know, internet, face-to-face. And it talks about, you know, we, at one time, we didn't have any special workers. We just did it all ourselves, and there wasn't enough of us hands to do the work. So we hired someone part-time, and then we hired someone full-time. And now there's, you know, many people doing service and many people serving us. Some of those are in DA, and the importance of in any 12-step program of the things I've observed over my 3 decades of experience working 12-steps traditions and concepts is the people that work in the field, I've observed them have a really hard time keeping that separate from their need to actually be of service. So I've just observed that for myself. I want to tell a couple stories and read a couple quotes from this because they were really powerful for me. It says, the fact that we as debtors are experts only in our own story. That's the only thing that I get to be an expert on here is my story. And my story is I came to Debtors Anonymous in the mid 90s. I know that became because I found a little sticky note that had someone who's near and dear to me from 1995 that had Kate's phone number on it. 1995. And I went away and then I came back. I came back in about 2017. So I controlled and enjoyed my debting for a good couple decades. I was in a relationship and we had 2 incomes and I would debt regularly and not a lot, but I controlled and enjoyed my debting. I lived a little outside my means. And when I came back to Debtors Anonymous, I remember sitting in the rooms thinking there's just no way I'm going to be able to keep my numbers. And it wasn't long before I was keeping my numbers. And there's just no way. I've got 2 sponsors and 2 other programs. I don't want to get 1 more sponsor and another program. And I did, you know, so I'm applying this to my recovery. You know, it is our debting and recovery experience alone that makes us useful. That's what makes us useful is my experience as a debtor. And it says, you know, the reason we need to be careful and have boundaries, it actually uses this word. It says, we have safe boundaries. I love that word. I love that word, safe boundaries for members and for workers in our program. Because, you know, people that are, I know mental health professionals, I know attorneys, I know all those people in DA. And not that I don't call them. I do call them and I will talk about my emotional problems or my legal problems, but I know it's not their job, you know, to do unpaid work for me. Sometimes I get referrals from them. I know I have boundaries that, you know, they have to have boundaries, but I have to have boundaries too. And I've actually, you know, counseled people that I sponsor to, you know, not try to go get people to do stuff for you for free. You need to pay for it, you know? And that's just something I have learned. I love this. These kinds of divisions would be inconsistent with the spirit of humility, equality, and gratitude that is fundamental to our recovery. You know, we think about our current state of the world and we think about, you know, equality and humility and, you know, just the grace that we're given by having a 12-step program. It really does touch my soul to think about, you know, the workers and the, you know, all of us that are doing service, because that's what keeps us sober. And it talks more about that. It talks about equality and unity. And it became, what I told you already, it became clear that there were
too few people trying to handle too much. Has anybody else here tried to do too much? I have. I would say busyaholism is definitely one of my isms. And you know what that looks like is if I I'll slow down. I'll try to breathe. I just am excited. I'm excited because I get to be of service, you know. I'm not getting paid to do this. I am in the spiritual space of just another debtor. I am a debtor among, I'm just a child of the universe, a debtor among other debtors. And, you know, and I do some service in San Diego. This is my second fellowship day. I went in person to the fellowship day in LA a couple years ago before COVID, and it was extraordinary. I'm sure some of you were there. I actually recognized at least one person that I sat next to in the meeting. And I don't know if she remembers it, but I did talk to her. I just am so impressed with what Debtors Anonymous has done as an organization. It's not easy to be sick financially like me. And that's why we need these traditions. That's why we need to understand the boundaries. And that's why, you know, we can't keep it if we don't give it away. I want to read the last chapter in this book. It says, Debtors Anonymous would likely cease to exist without its member service, both for lack of hands to do the work and because members would not be able to complete their 12-step work. We can't keep it if we don't give it away. So if we don't have opportunities to serve like this, you know, we don't get to stay sober. We don't get to see all of our growth. I'm going to read the last paragraph. It's on page 100. It says, the Fellowship of Debtors Anonymous is a strong, interdependent body. By its remaining non-professional, each of us can gratefully nurture the spiritual growth that is possible when we stop incurring new unsecured debt one day at a time. Each new person who seeks relief from the burden of debt and debting discovers that we are here solely to receive and pass on the gift of recovery, that all our service activities support this purpose, and that every recovering member is enriched by offering the gift of recovery to others. We can't transmit what we don't have. So when I came back to Debtors Anonymous and I sat there going, actually, I brought a person from another 12-step program that was embezzling money, someone that had done an inventory with me. And I said, oh, we better go to Debtors Anonymous. So off we go. And guess what? Guess who stayed? Me, not that other person. I mean, I think she may have cleaned up that stuff over there in her life because of her trip over to visit. But every time I take someone else to another 12-step program, I end up staying and they don't. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that I stayed. The last time I used a credit card was January 23rd of 2018. And it was my mother's obituary. I used a credit card to run my mother's obituary. And I wanted that to be my last debt. And it wasn't. But I wanted it to be. So I always say that was the last time I used a credit card. I then joined an action group and it supported me in doing things like closing my lines of credit. And, you know, if we hang out in a barbershop long enough, we're going to get a haircut. So I don't have any lines of credit. I don't have any credit cards. I have a few thousand dollars hanging around if I need it for anything, you know, like I'm good, you know, I'm good. And the one other thing I'm going to share is my last debt, which was I wrote a hot check to my best friend on a vacation. And I didn't know it was a hot check because I had been hacked. My Venmo was cat and someone stole $950 out of my bank account. So I closed the account and I forgot to throw the checks away. This is the disease of vagueness. And because I forgot to throw the checks away, I wrote one to my best friend. And when she sent me that little, she sent it to me on my phone, you know, a copy of the not sufficient fund thing. And we are in the same bank. I could have just transferred the money to her through Zelle. I mean, it just, anyway, that was my last debt. And I'll just share with you because it makes me happy to, oh, is it not on this paper? I write this down every freaking day and I can't, oh, so it's been
1 minute left.
2 years and 12 days since my last debt. And I've been keeping my action group commitments for a year and 62 days. So that means that I do some things. I do some service. I give a couple PRGs a month and I receive a PRG every month. And I make at least 3 outreach calls. I call in numbers every day. I go to 4 meetings a week and it keeps me solvent and willing to show up here and to be in this space with y'all. And you know, have that regularity of people who do service with me and they don't do it for any money. You You know, there is stuff that people do in these 12-step programs that if you paid money for it, it would not be what it is. I mean, it is such a gift. And so I got the best tradition, and I'm really grateful that I got to be in this room. Thank everyone here who's doing service. You guys have done a wonderful job with this fellowship day, and I'm very happy to have had you for this few minutes to share my what experience, strength, and hope I've been given from this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Who is speaking on Tradition 9?
It's me, Carolina.
Carolina? Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, my name is Carolina. I am from Brazil. I am GSR from DIA, and I am a recovery compulsive debtor. I have not secured any new unsecured debt since 16 February 2020. It's very recently. And my home meeting is DIA, a BDA group here in Brazil, and I am living at São Paulo. And well, when I arrived at the A 7 years ago, when I listen Unity, I always think about individual. I pass a lot of time thinking that Unity was individual and not the unity, people together. I was so concentrated on myself that I could not see that the unity was union, was do things together. So it was very difficult for me to understand and feel the proposal of traditions. And today I am so grateful to be here because I am representing my home group that is DIA and is a group very special for me because there I am learning to work together well. And today I am noticing that I can feel the traditions flowing through my body. And I am so happy to do this. And at my home group, I could feel the traditions inside me because there is a lot of generous people, generous fellows that was very patient with me when we started the group, because I was trying to do the things on the past mode. I was trying to be genial. I was trying to be do things, not things that was important, but what I had the desire to do or doing what I wanted to do. And my home group is the place where I can observe myself and where I can put in practice the traditions. And I am very happy with this. So now I would like to talk about the 9 tradition. Then when I get in touch with 12 steps and 12 traditions, and I discovered that in the beginning and in the AA, the first way to talk about the 9 traditions was AA, or the fellowship needs a minimum of organization. And I understood why I'm here talking about this tradition beside a lot of people, that there is a lot of more experience than me. No, because during the pandemic, we had to transfer the meetings, the presential meetings, to online meetings, and I use all my qualities of organizations to put things in order and to use tools to organize things, and it was very exhaustive for me. And out of the A, I was recognized for people that was very good in organization. And inside the A, I noticed that, yes, okay, I am good in organization, but I am not good to prioritize myself. And here in the A, I am noticing, I am learning that I need to prioritize myself and use this organization to me to flow and not to put things in order. And I noticed, and well, I recognize it, that I was trying to organize things so to fix it, things, not to with love, but to control things, to control situations. And now I am trying step by step to stay more with others. And the traditions, especially tradition 9, remember me that I am not controlling the situation, that look, you are trying to control something, change to adapt the situation and not to control. So that's, I am thinking also that this tradition make me feel that things that's not put things in the box and stay together with the others and discover, and is more about questions. And so I will read the 9 tradition, because DA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. What means to me? Not to stay crystallized in one idea mode, and at the same time protecting myself to not exercise power above other. And again, I noticed that my obsession for organization was a real desire to organize the others and to use the power above others. And at the end, with this tradition, I became more flexible. And now that I am getting in touch with the spirituality of collective conscious, I know that everything that we choose together is the best way. And I always need to say for me that I am not God. I always need to say for me that the A and the life will be here after my death, because I can't organize the things so fixed that these things can't not leave. The leave needs to flow, and this tradition remembered that for me. And well, I began to listen with more attention, another fellows that is more experienced than me, giving suggestion to the others and also asking more than saying, I know what to do. No, what do you think? How can I say? And I am practicing that in my work. I am asking for people, and even I am an artist, and for me it's very hard, and was much, much harder in the past. Share about some situation, make decisions together. And now I can see that I am working together with others also. And I can see that is a reflex about the traditions in my life. So I think that the voice of spirit is talking about me, talking with me much more. And I am accepting this way to recover myself, because I pass a lot of time in this program without accepting that I was with a terrible disease, because I could not accept. And now that I accepted that, I think that I am more conscious, and I am more, I can see people, and I can look in the eyes, and I can see that my obsession to put things in order was also my imbalance with my spiritual principle, with the spiritual principle, and I could see a lot of groups, especially here in Brazil. We had a lot of groups that closes their doors during the pandemic, and it's very difficult. And I know that this tradition can help us to to be alive. And I say that this happened with me, happened with my group. And I know that the high level of spiritually is determinant to be open. And today I am very connected to carry the message, because I pass a lot of time without understanding what was this program and why is spiritually. And today I can feel, and my life is much, much better. And that's it. I am grateful to be here, grateful for the listen. And I'm sorry if I lose some words, but sometimes English is a bit difficult for me. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolina. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to the three speakers. That was great.